Well, hey, good morning and welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. It's that time, 10:41, and we're joined by Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Levitt. And Howard, good morning. By the way, Howard, I got to apologize for getting cut off while you were on the air saying our goodbyes last week. I apologize for that.
Well, it happens.
It live,
you know, technical issues happen in every profession.
The joy of live radio. You know, we were just talking. I love your piece in the Financial Post. We were just talking about your latest piece at 10:30, and employees insisting on working from home. I have a friend of mine, and she lived most of her adult life thinking she absolutely hated her job, hated everything about it. It caused her anxiety. She wasn't eating right. She never slept right. And it was a good job, but she hated it. And she realized with the pandemic how much she actually loved her job. She just hated going into work, and she's literally begging her boss. I believe she said, you know, I'll take a pay cut, please let me stay home, because it's made such a world of difference in productivity. And he admits too, she's much more productive. So with her case, it might be a thing. But is there a danger of degrading pay for jobs by hiring people remotely from other countries with lower pay standards?
Well, yeah, I think it's a real problem we're going to have as a country, because employers, there's a two sides of this equation. Your friend loves working from home and is more productive. Well, then why hire her? Why not hire somebody from the Philippines who can do the job equally well at a tenth of the rate?
Yeah.
And employers will start getting, solicited by employment agencies, finding people from around the world. It'll be a race to the bottom. If you don't have to live in Windsor, you don't have to live in Canada, you don't have to live you can live anywhere.
Right.
So I think it's a real issue, and it's not only something I've been warning about for months, but the Bank of England is now warned about it.
Wow.
For the British economy. Because what will that do to our employment base and our tax base if we get this race to the bottom?
Do you think there's going to be any laws put in place to kind of protect this from getting out of hand?
Hard to say. I guess at some point, if it becomes the type of problem I foresee, they might, but employers will say, how can you impact on our ability to employ people? Or they'll do it as independent contractors rather than as employees. Look at all the call centers right now operating for Canadian companies out of the Philippines or out of India or everywhere. They're doing it now, but now they're getting comfortable having those same jobs done in all kinds of fields. Like, anybody who can work from home is inherently a remote job.
Right. Is it, one more question about this case. Is it silly of, like I told my friend, don't offer to take a pay cut. Is it silly to say, I'll take a pay cut if you let me work at home?
Well, if that's their only choice,
right,
it may not be such a bad idea.
Yeah. No, good call for sure.
They say, come back to the office to your friend, and she can bargain all she likes. But at the end of the day, if they say, I don't care, for example, the boss might say, you know, I agree with you. You're more productive at home, and I'm getting more out of you at home.
Right.
But I can't let you do it, or everybody will do it.
Right.
So if she agrees to take a pay cut, that might be the answer to both of them. Well, she's doing it, but she takes a pay cut. Do you want a pay cut? No? Well, then stay at the office.
Gotcha. No, absolutely. Good advice for sure. We got a call right now. Jim is on the line. Jim, I'm sorry I cut you off when you called earlier. Jim, your question for Howard.
Yes. I really enjoy your talk show and your common sense answers. I have a problem I hope you can help me with. If I was terminated with cause, can my employer demand that I pay them back money that they overpaid to Child Services on my behalf?
So they've overpaid money to Child Services, and there's no statutory or legal authority for them doing so. Well, yes, you have a claim for the money back, of course. They over withdrew from your wages. They're not allowed to do that without legal authority. If they don't have legal authority, they have to pay you back. Absolutely.
Well, actually, it's the other way around. They overpaid. Now they want me to pay them back that money that they overpaid.
Oh, they overpaid Child Services.
Mm-hmm.
But with your money?
Yes.
With what,
well,
their own money?
They're demanding the money back in any case.
I'm not quite clear what happened.
Did they pay you, Jim?
Yeah, they paid Child Services on my behalf.
Oh.
But they,
with your
they,
money? Right?
With my money? Well, I'm not sure if it was with my money, but they're demanding $1,400 back in.
Well, if they overpaid with your money, they presumably wouldn't want the money back. But I don't understand why they would have overpaid Child Services with their own money, because normally you just follow an order, they deduct it from your bank account or your wages and pay it to Child Services. So I don't understand how they could have paid more than that amount, but they deducted back. Maybe there was an administrative error.
Yes,
it
was an administrative
error. So the question is, why don't you just ask them to pay less to Child Services next time to rectify the balance?
Well, the problem is that I was terminated, so I'm no longer with the company.
Well, I wouldn't be paying it back if I were you. So consider it part of your severance.
Oh, wow.
We'll have to pay them back. Okay, I'll just
hear you. They'd have to sue you for it. They're not going to go and sue you for $1,400. That's the reality. So whatever legal issue there may or may not have been, and there would have been the answer I just gave would have been the practical answer, have to pay less next time, and you pay the normal amount to them next time, so they're reimbursed that way. But if you're not there anymore, well, then they have to sue you for it. They're not going to sue you for $1,400.
Okay, so I'll just hold tight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
hey,
thank you,
Jim.
I appreciate your answer.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you very much, Jim, for calling your question today. If you have a question for Howard, give us a call, 519-792-2559. I got this, and it's a two-part question here, and I think I know the answer to the first part. This person writes, "Hello, Dan. Please don't mention my name, of course, never. My question for Howard is, once a case has been closed and a settlement was given without going to court, can it be reopened in any way? I would say no, but..."
Well, let's assume I'm going to say yes.
Here okay.
You go. But it's... Generally speaking, if everything is resolved and the releases are signed, the minutes of settlement are done and the monies have been paid, that's the end of it. But let's assume for a moment the employee had been defrauding the company and the company didn't know about it and therefore made the settlement on those false pretenses. Then the company could reopen the case and sue for its money back on the basis that there was fraud. That would be one example where they could reopen it.
Okay. Now, what about on the other side? Is there any case where the person who was the recipient of the settlement could reopen it? They've signed off. Okay, I'm gone. I'm done. I accept my package. We didn't go to court. See you later. But now, the part
well,
of the
let me
question.
Give you, that's oh, good. Thank oh, you for asking. That. I should have covered that too. Okay. Let's assume an employee is called in, fired on the spot. Maybe they didn't speak English very well. Didn't really understand the system. We're told sign this now, or you'll never get a penny. They in fear. Sign it, get some incredibly improvident amount of money, like, you know, 2 weeks pay when they would be entitled to 6 months, and they didn't have any independent legal advice, had no opportunity to get independent legal advice, didn't even have an opportunity to breathe before signing the thing, because they were told sign it now or you'll get nothing. If those facts come out, the court would reopen it.
Oh, okay, perfect. Now, what if their cause is issues because of this were undue hardship, issues with mental health due to the way the case was handled by the workplace before leaving? Do they have a leg to stand on from that angle?
Not much of one if they were given an opportunity to get legal advice and walk away and think about it and talk to a lawyer if they wanted to, and then they signed it. Unless the amount was less than the employment standards minimum and they were not even offered the employment standards minimum, that release might be set aside, but no few companies would be that foolish.
Okay, great. We're on the phone right now with Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Leavitt, and taking your calls, taking your texts, a lot of texts to get through. Call me, 519-792-2559. If you have a question for Howard, we'll continue to take your questions next. Keep it here. It's the Dan McDonald Show. Well, hey, welcome back. It's Dan McDonald. We're on the phone with Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Leavitt, taking your texts and your calls. If you have a question, you can text it, 10-800. You can call, too, 519-792-2559. Next question here for Howard. Someone writes, if you could ask Howard Leavitt this question. My son is a hairstylist and runs an apartment building in which he lives in and is rent-free. He does, however, get a T4 for this. Is this considered income, and does it affect any CERB payments he may have collected?
Well, if a company is giving him free accommodation, well, it's not really free because it is part of his income, he should get T4'd for it, and it therefore would it add up to the amount of money for $5,000 you earned in the last year for CERB? I think it would.
It's a would count.
Yeah, I think it would count. It's a question I've never seen before, but I think it would count. But there is no more CERB anymore, so I'm not quite sure why this question is being asked now. But in any event,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. This person writes, this is an interesting one. We might need more information here. I turned down a position at my work because I didn't agree with what came with the job. Can I be fired for turning down this position?
No. The employer may say, well, look, Kate, you can be fired for anything or nothing.
Right.
If the question is it cause for discharge, the answer is no. If the question is, well, actually, let me put the question differently, because it may be a yes. Generally speaking, the answer to that would be no. However, if it was a reasonable alternate position and the employer said to you, this is your new job, in In other words, it wasn't an option. It wasn't a choice, which is how the text was worded. It was your new job, and you take and you don't take it. You've just resigned. As long as it's clear to you that you don't have the choice of staying in your old job.
Okay. That is good to know for that. But just saying, no, thank you, I'm going to decline this position. That's been
that would be fine, but if the employer says, well, listen, this isn't for, you can't decline it, this is your new job,
right?
And you still decline it, assuming the job wasn't a demotion or some form of constructive dismissal, in which case, of course, it you'd have a right legally to decline it and could sue for wrongful dismissal if they forced it on you, then if you decline your new job and the job is something the employer has a right to sign you and it's assigned to you, it's not an option to agree to, then you've resigned.
Okay. This person, this has happened to some coworkers that I know before. If I get a parking citation while in a company vehicle, do I have to pay? Can my employer take it out of my paycheck? My company does not have a policy on this. It's subjective. The ticket was against the vehicle, not myself. I'm debating throwing out the ticket and pretending I never even saw it. How would you recommend this person to proceed?
Well, I think that when the employer gets the ticket marked up, they're going to realize who was driving the car that day. And if there's no policy on, look, in order to deduct from wages, you have to have that in writing. So if the employer doesn't have it in writing, they can't deduct it from their wages. But if the employee was careless and therefore incurred a parking infraction, which the employer then has to pay, then it really is the employee's responsibility. So at the worst of cases, the employer could sue the employee and the employer would succeed in that lawsuit. Again, I'm not sure an employer is going to sue somebody for a $50 parking ticket,
right,
but it's certainly going to sour relationships.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to say, well, we're not giving this person a raise, we're not going to give this person a bonus, but they can't legally deduct anything from wages.
Absolutely, yeah. But best to just fess up about it, I would say. Just own it. There's a couple of things going on here. So I started working, this person writes, on February 1st as a contractor for a company, and on the 19th of February was my last day. It was only a temp job. I was supposed to get paid by the 22nd. Nothing has happened at all, so I called, and they said they'll take care of it. So far, nothing is happening. What should I do next?
Well, I don't know if it's genuinely independent contract or a genuinely independent contract, which I'm guessing it is not. Who knows? We don't have enough details.
Right.
Then they'd have to sue. If it's they're genuinely an employee, not an independent contractor, then they go to employment standards for unpaid wages and they'll collect it for them.
Okay. One more here. This person says, I have been asked, and we fielded this one a few times now, I've been asked to sign a form at work regarding the fact that I have declined my COVID vaccine, and this therefore means I may not receive sick pay if I contract COVID, along with some other statements I need to agree on. I don't know what my rights are if I don't sign it.
Well, if there's a policy that you don't get sick pay, if refusing to accept a vaccination excludes you from sick pay, then it excludes you from sick pay. That's the policy of the company. Nothing illegal in that policy.
So if this person just refuses to sign it altogether, could there be repercussions from that?
I don't know. It depends on the company.
Right.
I mean, if the company has a policy that everyone has to be vaccinated, they can fire them for it.
Yeah, that's a big one that a lot of people are having a lot of trouble with, is saying, can I be fired for refusing a vaccine if it's part of a requirement for my job? And they can. You can be fired for that.
Absolutely. Unless the person's a remote worker.
Right.
But generally speaking, they're only going to when they introduce vaccines, they're going to order everybody back to work because then they can work in the workplace again.
Right.
If you're a remote worker, you have no contact with anyone, or you have a medical exemption or a religious exemption, I mean a real one, not a frivolous one,
right,
then you can... subject of that, the employer can force you to vaccinate, yes.
People, a lot of creative religions out there. I'm seeing people, I'm part of the spaghetti monster religion, I can't get a vaccine, yeah. And that does not fly.
No, it's got to be a recognized, established religion where that is genuinely a substantial tenet of that religion.
That is good to know. That's going to be something I think
once looked up what religions that were. They're pretty obscure.
Yeah, I tried and I could not find one that said, there's some that say I'm exempt from a mask because of my religion. I couldn't find any religion that said thou shalt not wear a face mask.
I did actually, but I can't remember what they were now. They were, they were real religions, but they were obscure religions.
Right, yeah.
They're a couple of Eastern religions, as I recall.
Okay. That's all the time we have. Howard, as always, always, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you. That is Howard Leavitt.
Have a great week.
The you as well. Have a great week. Canada's top employment lawyer, Howard Leavitt, joins us every Thursday, 10:40, taking your employment questions. You can visit him online to leavittllp.com. His number is there as well. You can say you heard him on the show if you want to talk to a lawyer and just see if you have a case, see how you should proceed. Lots of great information there. Conversation continues next. Don't go away.